Welcome to Lost and Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Death, sickness, unemployment, sadness, depression, divorce. Do you feel like you're alone in any of this? Well, you're not. Together we can find a way out. Get ready for Lost and Starting Over, a show on the Tub Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Hey folks, this is Linda Ballesteros, and I'm so glad that you're spending some time with me today on Lost and Starting Over. And as I always say, thank you so much, because when you spend time with someone, or when someone spends time with you, that's that one commodity that they can't get back. So I'm always honored when you show up, and today you're certainly going to want to show up with pen in hand, because our guest today is Arlene Bradley, and she has many certifications, but among some of those are, she's a certified job loss recovery specialist, she's certified as a job search strategist, and she is a career management coach. And Arlene has helped hundreds by help to take the pain out of looking for a job. And if you are out there and you've had a job and you've been through a job loss, whether it is because of downsizing, whether it is because, and maybe it was your decision to leave, but you weren't quite ready to leave. Whatever the reason that you lost that job, there's a lot of pain in getting another job or trying to decide what you want to do. And Arlene is here to help us with that. So Arlene, welcome to the show, and thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for asking me to be on your show. This is a passion of mine, to help people recover from job loss and to help them get back on their career track. So it's wonderful opportunity for me to share this information.
Absolutely, Arlene. And I think a lot of people out there don't realize, when they lose a job, that there are people like yourself that can help them through some of these different stages of grief. And I tell you, I've done a lot of research on grief, and I don't care whether you call it grief because of job loss, for financial stability. And in fact, folks, if you didn't hear our show last week, where we spoke to Chris Miles, who talked about losing financial stability, then you're going to want to listen to that as well. Or whether you lost a loved one, whether it was through divorce or through death, the grief stages are so very, very similar. So, Arlene, to begin with, what I find a lot of times is people become passionate about something because they've experienced it. Is that the case for you?
Yes. One of the things that sets me apart from a lot of other career coaches and other people who you find at the one-stop career centers is I sat across from somebody who explained my severance and all the different things about leaving a job, and I stood up from the table, walked out the door, and said, "Now what?"
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone through all those feelings, and I navigated them by myself without somebody to help me through it, and it took a much longer time than it would if somebody had been there for me. So when I say I know how you feel, I do know how you feel. A lot of people say that as a way to comfort you, but when you have had the same job for, 20, 30 years and you've never had a layoff, it's hard to accept that from somebody who says to you, "I know how you feel." No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You know, Arlene, and if, being with a company for 20 or 30 years, they become your family. So do you see that there is a grief in losing family and friends and that familiar environment, not just the job?
Yes, especially in the 2008 to 2010 period, when people were losing jobs left and right. And what was happening is somebody would come to your desk with an empty box and tell you, pack up your things and leave, and escort you out the building. There was no sense of closure. You couldn't go to people and say, you know, look at what happened. Thank you for all that you've meant to me. Because sometimes, you know, even though you're close to people on the job, it doesn't mean you're close to them outside of the job.
Right.
So even though you're sitting with them at coffee breaks and lunches, it doesn't mean you're going to be sitting with them at a ballpark watching a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
So that, what happens is you don't get a chance to say goodbye, and that prevents closure.
And sometimes you don't even know why your position was cut, especially during, like you said, 2008, 2010, those were some really tough years for all sectors. And, you know, and not even knowing why. And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason to it. I know I was in corporate for 30-plus years, and there would be times that a whole department would be cut. It wasn't because you weren't performing. It was just because they decided to go in a different direction. But the, either way, the end is still the same for those employees. So how do they, if they get that cardboard box and are told, pack up, it's over, how do they get some closure when there's no way to get closure with your employer?
The first thing you have to do is grieve. The first thing people want to do is start writing a resume. And that is the worst time to write a resume. The first thing you have to do is grieve. If you lose a loved one, a husband or wife, significant other, you suffer the loss, but that doesn't mean you start going out right away dating.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that sounds like a bad example, but it really is. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to get back to work. You want to continue your financial security, but you're not ready to do that.
Right.
You're not thinking clearly, and you're acting on emotions. And if you're coming into an interview looking depressed or desperate, they see that on you, and they won't touch you with a 10-foot pole. So you really need that time to debrief, to grieve, and to start working on your resume after that process.
And, of course, that grieving process, that time, is different for everyone, but it has to be especially difficult when the loss of a job, maybe you didn't receive a severance. Maybe there wasn't a package in place. Maybe there, you know, you still have all your bills to pay. So there's that additional pressure of, you know, the loss of the income.
Definitely, definitely. And that's just adding more to the desperation and depression. So as much as it's difficult, take a little bit of time. But then I have this program, the Job Loss Recovery Program, that's going to help you get over it a little bit quicker. Chances are there's some anger. I mean, in, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's, was it seven? Five or seven? I'm at a loss right now.
So, stages of grief.
Yes. One of them is anger. And anger is toward whoever it was that was responsible for your job loss. And you have to get over that portion of it in order to move forward. And through the Job Loss Recovery Program, it gives you an outlet to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may not necessarily be the person who actually voiced the words, but it may be somebody who you felt should have gone to bat for you. And didn't fight hard enough to keep you in your position. But like you said, in the case of a whole department disappearing, Well, that's a corporate level decision. So, you know, you may be more mad at the board of directors or the president or whoever it is. There is anger, and you have to get rid of that anger.
Because if you go into, and I've seen this happen so many times, where someone goes in to interview for a job and then they start bad-mouthing their prior employer for all the things that they did wrong. And that is just the kiss of death, don't you think, Arlene?
Oh, it is. It is. Because if you're bad-mouthing somebody else, the chances are very good you will end up bad-mouthing them.
Mm-hmm.
And they
mm-hmm.
know that.
Right, right. Well, you know, once you get past some of the anger, with a job, losing a job especially, I felt when that happened to me, even though it had nothing to, it didn't reflect upon my ability to do the job. It was a corporate decision, but there was a bit of embarrassment for me that I lost a job. I was, in my mind, I was fired, and that's just an awful thing for me to carry around, was that I was fired, even though I was really laid off, but in my head, I was fired. Do you see where that is something that is common as well, that you have to get past that embarrassment?
Yes, definitely. But fortunately for people who were laid off in between 2008 and 2010, mm-hmm. there were a lot of people that were mm-hmm. out. And it previous, I mean, you know, business is cyclical. You have
sure.
the upturns and the downturns, and it goes up and down. It's all cyclical. So if you get laid off during a downturn, the stigma is still there. But it's not as bad as if you're getting laid off when things are booming. Because if you're getting laid off when things are booming, something must be really wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
But because you got you lost your job in the downturn, there is the stigma,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully it isn't as damaging to your psyche, because
mm-hmm.
you see that other people who were better than you, who were not as good as you, have been laid off as well. You're all in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the case of you, it was an entire department.
Right.
When a department is offshored, you know, they're no longer going to be doing that portion of the business locally. They're taking it to India, or they're taking it to the Philippines, or wherever, China, wherever they're taking it. It's not about you. And that's something people have to understand. It's not about you. They did not say, let's get rid of Linda.
Mm-hmm.
No. Linda was a member of that department that they said, you know, that department, we
mm-hmm.
could make more money if we send it to the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
We can pay a Filipino person. I don't mean to pick on Filipinos. I'm using this as an example.
Sure.
If we take it to another country where we can pay people less, we have better stock dividends, and our stockholders are going to be very happy with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a decision based on the bottom line, not because Linda and her friend Diane were nice people. It had nothing. Your name never even came up. It was a decision based on how do you make more profit, and so how do we make rich people richer?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
so Arlene, when you're talking about, you know, the mental psyche and everything, how do you coach or work with someone before they go out to job interviews to make sure that their head is in the right place. My mother used to always say, you got to get your mind right. Well, how did you, how do you help them? Do you give them some tools or some techniques to do every day? You know, I'm great, affirmations, whatever, to help them get over that failure kind of mentality.
Okay, well, the job loss recovery program that I use is a series of guided imagery scripts. And they listen to guided imagery. And through guided imagery, it takes them on a trip, as it were, to a place where you forgive the person who you feel is responsible for your job loss. You can tell that person off, even though they're nowhere near you. In your mind, you're telling them off, and you're getting it off your chest. Then when you have gotten that far, then you start working on the interview process. After you have your resume and that's tweaked and ready to go and you've sent it out and somebody has picked it up and wants you for a face-to-face interview, there's now another process, again, using guided imagery, where you practice answering typical interview questions. Now, the program doesn't give you the questions. You're responsible for coming up with the questions that are typical in your industry. But it gives you an opportunity to voice them, to answer them in a relaxed state. Interviewing is by its very nature stressful, no mm-hmm. doubt about it. However, if you can practice answering questions while you are relaxed, hopefully that is going to carry with you into the interview. And it's a mind-body connection where you're in the situation, but you've experienced it in another, I'm going to say, dimension, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
You've rehearsed it. You've looked at the questions, and you've practiced them, and you've been relaxed. So hopefully you're now relaxed. Just preparing questions and having answers to questions is going to help in itself. But if you can do it in a relaxed state, that's an added benefit for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great approach to that, Arlene, because it's almost like hypnosis. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It's very mm-hmm. similar to hypnosis.
Mm-hmm. That's a great approach. I tell you what, we need to take a real quick commercial break here. Arlene, when we come back, I would love to hear some of your success stories so that our listeners can maybe get an idea of how you might be able to help them. So folks, hang on, and we're going to be right back with more from Arlene Bradley.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Welcome back to Loss and Starting Over. This is your host, Linda Ballesteros, and my guest today is Arlene Bradley. And Arlene is talking about job loss and how she helps her clients get through the grief process and move on. Because if you lose your job, you have to move on, folks, just like if you lose anything else. And that's one of the reasons that I created this show, was so that we didn't focus as much on the loss. The loss is the loss. You've lost your job. You have to move on, whether it's your decision or not. So finding ways that other people have started over or moved on, maybe you can take from that and apply it, or find a new approach to it, or a different way of looking at it. So, Arlene, I had mentioned before we went on the commercial break that maybe you could share with us a success story that you had where someone had lost their job and applied your program. So can you maybe help us with that?
Yes. One, this person had lost a job and was having difficulty finding another job. And part of their difficulty was they wanted to be an intern on Capitol Hill. However, they were too old to be an intern. And we're only talking 30s. I mean, it's not like we're talking somebody who was 70 years old. We're talking somebody 30 years old and the window had closed to be an intern. And this person had been highly educated, very well qualified, but again, too old. This person had been homeless twice and was looking at homelessness again for the third time. So the first thing I had to do was calm this person down. This person, I'd say the first conversation I had with this person, I felt like I had to talk them off the ledge.
Wow.
And through guided imagery, they were able to relax. And that's the first thing they had to do, was relax, because they were so high-strung and nervous and depressed and desperate that there was no way they were ever going to get a job, even if they did get an interview. So through guided imagery, this person was able to relax. I also suggested that this person take part in activities with other people. This person liked to ride his bicycle. I encouraged him to ride his bicycle. I said watch funny movies. I just had to get him out of that mindset. So once I was able to get him calm enough, then I had to start working with him on his self-confidence and practicing interviews. So he did that portion, and he was, you know, he was prepared. But the thing that I really had to impress upon him was stepping out of his comfort zone. And he wouldn't do that. I told him he had to network. I told him he had to contact people he knew. And he was very resistant. But because of the guided imagery and the relaxation and giving him self-confidence, picturing himself as winning, picturing himself as succeeding in his goal, it took a while. But he finally reached out to a friend that I had been telling him he should reach out to. When he finally reached out to the friend said, yes, there is a position in my company.
Wow.
And he applied for it. He used the guided imagery to practice again the interview questions. He aced the question and got the job. Now, this was a 9-month process for him, but I had to start with raw nerves. So I had to calm him down, and that took most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I had to build up his confidence enough to ask for his friend for a job.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things that I don't think that we do enough, especially when we're in corporate. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a small business owner now, but I was in banking for 30-something years. Each time we were, you know, there was an acquisition and a new bank came in and they had new ideas and I lost my job, or maybe I quit because I moved to another city. Each time, Arlene, I never thought to go out and ask people I knew, because there again, I was too embarrassed that I was jobless. I was unemployed. So it does take a shift in the mindset to say, get over the fear, because there's a lot of fear in that, especially approaching someone and especially approaching a friend or a colleague. So do you see that using the guided imagery, that it does kind of bypass that fear or get through it somehow?
Yes, there is a definite mind-body connection. Your brain cannot distinguish between reality and imagery. It senses the same thing. Is it all right if I do a little exercise here to
absolutely
demonstrate
mm-hmm.
it?
Sure.
Okay. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to go with your mind into your kitchen where you prepare food. I want you to take a lemon and put it on a cutting board. Now, before you put the lemon down, I want you to smell it. Can you smell the lemony scent? Can you feel the rough texture of the peel, how it feels leathery? Okay, can you get a little scent of the lemon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I want you to put it down on the cutting board, and I want you to pick up a knife. And I want you to feel the weight of the knife. I want you to see the shiny blade, the sharpness of it that you know is there, the weight of the handle. Okay, so now you have this knife in your hand. I want you to take that lemon, and I want you to slice it right down the middle so you have two nice halves. And when you look at it, you see the juice oozing out of it. And you see, oh, you even cut a couple seeds. Now, I want you to take that lemon, and I want you to take a taste of that lemon. Now, if I was successful, you've tasted the sourness, and your eyes are squinting, and your tongue is getting all like the sourness. And that happens to me every time I do this exercise.
Well, it's interesting because my mouth started watering the minute that I started cutting the you talked about cutting the lemon. My mouth started watering immediately. So that was kind of interesting. So it's like your brain, your body really believes that it's doing whatever the brain is thinking about.
Exactly. Now, you have probably aren't anywhere near a lemon.
No, I don't have any.
I don't even have any in my refrigerator at the moment. But I felt that lemon sensation in my mouth. My eyes squinted and my lips mm-hmm. puckered. Mm-hmm. See, your brain caused you to do that. It goes back to Pavlov's dogs, and I'm not going to get mm-hmm. into all that. But your brain doesn't know the difference between reality and imagery. So if you can practice something in your brain, it comes out when you're actually in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead of the fear or the desperation coming out. You've kind of overwritten that just a bit with these images of success, so to speak.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. almost like, you know, the law of abundance. What you put out into the universe comes back to you. It's karma. What goes around comes around. You're putting out there what you want, and now mm-hmm. you're going to receive it. It's all part of that idea.
Mm-hmm. Arlene, I love your approach to this because it takes it a different level. It's not just about writing a resume, because you can send that off to Fiverr and Fiverr can write the resume. But, you know, when you've lost a job, it goes so much deeper than that. If someone's listening right now and they think, you know, I'm in the middle of that, how can I get in touch with Arlene? So how would they get in touch with you, Arlene?
They could contact me by email at arlene@arlenebradley.com. Now, my mother and father were very creative, and they spelt my name a little bit differently. It's arlenebradley.com. I have a website, arlenebradley.com. Mm-hmm. I have a Facebook page. It's Arlene Bradley Career Coaching. I'm on LinkedIn, Arlene Bradley. There are many ways people can contact me.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, folks, don't hesitate to reach out. Check out Arlene's website, and you can look at some of the great work that she's done and see if that's something that might fit for you as well. So, Arlene, we've got three last questions here, those final
okay.
questions. Are you ready for those?
I sure am. Whatever
okay.
they are, I am.
So the first question is, what one thing has helped you the most when dealing with the loss or helping others deal with loss? Because you did say that you had lost your job. And how do you help those? What one thing helps the most or has helped you or helped them the most going through the loss?
Well, number one, I've walked the walk. I've felt exactly what they felt. So I am compassionate. The other thing is I let people know that I am available to them. Mm-hmm. The last thing you want to do is feel alone. And I say, send me an email. Give me a call. I'll talk with you. People don't necessarily want you to solve their situation. They just need somebody to talk with them,
mm-hmm.
brainstorm with them. But it's just knowing that there is somebody there who understands how they feel and knows they sincerely care.
Mm-hmm.
That's
And you may have kind of answered the next question. The next question is, how can a friend or a family member help someone who's struggling with this loss? And like you said, trying to fix it is certainly not what the other person needs. But how would you coach a family member or a friend of someone who has lost their job, how to support them?
First of all, if the person who is the friend or relative of the person who lost the job, and they themselves have not lost the job, do not say, I know how you feel.
Hmm.
You've lost all credibility. Say, I can't imagine how you must be feeling right now. I want to help. Awesome. How can I help you? If they say, oh, there's nothing, well, yes, there are a lot of things. Don't downplay it and say things like, oh, you'll get another one.
Mm.
Yes, you do want to encourage them, but say, yes, you will get another job. However, you need to work through this, and I'm here to help you. Listen to their concerns. Again, this is where you're not going to solve it, but listen to them. Let them get off their chest. Brainstorm some solutions. Offer any help they need, but don't become a crutch for them. Mm-hmm. They need, that's very easy to do, especially when they enter a downward spiral. Don't become a crutch. And the downward spiral is depression. There is some sort of depression that goes along with losing a job, but you don't want to get it to the place where it's clinical depression.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know this person very well, are they eating too much or too little? Are there changes in their appetite? Are there changes in their sleep patterns? Are they staying in bed? Are they not sleeping? Do you see anxiety and irritability? Is there a loss of confidence? Are they feeling overwhelmed? You know, keep an eye on, you know, there's some of this, yes, does go on, but if it's too long and too drastic, then you have to be ready to step in and say, you need some professional help, and
mm-hmm.
I'm here to help you with that. I mean, you're not the professional help, but I'll support what the professional is saying.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is get them out and about. I mean, it's very discouraging to sit home or at a library in front of a computer screen looking for jobs day in and day out, and they feel like they have to be constantly looking for a job. But the thing is, when they were working, they did not work 24/7. So you do not have to job search 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Take some time. Take some time for you. You can't pour from an empty cup. And if you're looking for a job, you have to be in the right mindset. Go out with people. Now, a lot of times people are maybe used to traveling expensive trips, you know, eating in expensive restaurants, and maybe that's not possible right now. Open your house and say, we're going to have a potluck. I'm providing my house. You provide the food and beverages. I'll
mm-hmm.
provide a movie. I'll provide a game of Monopoly, the deck of cards. You know, allow them to participate in activities with people. Make sure they laugh. That's huge. They have to laugh. They have to laugh at the situation. They have to laugh at themselves. And they just have to laugh. Laughter is the best medicine, and it's true. They have to change their mindset because laughter is like a mini vacation from the stress and anxiety they're feeling. Even if it's just for 1 or 2 hours on a Saturday evening, they need that opportunity to be a normal human being and not a job searcher.
Mm-hmm. I like that laughter is like a mini vacation, because
yes.
for that split moment, you don't have any worries. When you're laughing,
exactly.
you don't have any worries. And you have to get out of that pressure cooker from time to time to be able to function. So our last question here is, you know, since loss is something that we all experience, and, you know, maybe someone will lose their job, but at some point they will no longer work for whatever reason. Is there anything that we can do to be better equipped to handle a future loss of employment or income?
Well, first of all, you want to have some kind of savings. You want a cushion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're living paycheck to paycheck, that may be kind of difficult, but you do want to try to have some cushion. The other thing is, in today's world, there's no such thing as permanent. Loyalty on the part of the employers and employee is no longer expected or required.
Mm-hmm.
People change. It's very rare these days to find somebody who start their career at one place and end in the exact same place. Today's millennial generation is not going to have that. Their tenure at a position is, like, they, I think they're saying, like, 2 or 3 years at the most.
Wow.
They're constantly changing. The idea of retiring from a company after so many years with a gold watch, I think it's safe to say those days are gone. There are very few. So expect to be changing jobs. And every job is temporary. Do not look at jobs as saying, I have this job now, I'm set for life. No. Always keep your resume up to date. Make sure it's ready to go. Anytime you take on a new position and you're doing new things, keep adding it to your resume. Keep your network alive by maintaining connections with your contacts and increasing your contacts. With your current contacts, ask them, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can help you with? Because you don't want to be the person that only gets in touch with them when you need something.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be the go-to person when they need something, so that when the rare opportunity presents itself, they can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Have plan B, C, D, E, F, whatever. What else can you do? What do you like to do? What are your hobbies? Can you make a living off of your hobbies? Be looking for plan B. You know, don't say, okay, well, I work at this job and that's it. What else can you be doing? Always be, what else is out there? What else can I make money on? Expect the unexpected. Yes.
Arlene, that kind of makes me think of another question that could someone see this job loss as an opportunity to really change the direction of their career or change the way they look at a hobby? Is this a time where we should take advantage of that downtime?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to give a famous example. Colonel Sanders. Everybody knows Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders had his famous chicken recipe. And he retired, I don't know, what, 65 or whatever it was. He got his first Social Security check, looked at it, and said, there's no way I can live on this. So he packed up some chickens and he packed up his pressure cooker and his herbs and spices and set out to sell them, to sell, to have people buy the recipe and as a franchise. He knocked on over 1,000 doors before somebody said yes to him. He had something that he was using in his own restaurant. He had, I think he had like a restaurant with a hotel or something. And then there was a road that was supposed to go by the hotel, but it went someplace else. So he was forced into retirement. And he had this recipe, and he made something out of it. I mean, everybody mm-hmm. knows Kentucky Fried Chicken now. It's all over the world.
Right.
So
right.
he... You know, he thought outside the box. Instead of, you know, going into another restaurant, buying another restaurant, he decided, no, he's not going to do that. He's going to franchise his recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he became a millionaire at mm-hmm. in his 60s, 70s.
Right, right. And that is a perfect example of how sometimes we're forced into looking at other opportunities that we wouldn't have looked at otherwise. So
exactly.
I always believe that things happen for a reason. And when I stop long enough to say, okay, what is this reason? then I start looking at things differently. So if you just look at the layoff or the job loss as an opportunity for this next phase of your life, whether it is another job or whether it is taking that hobby that you've been doing out in the garage and find a way to monetize that and maybe sell it on Etsy or in some of the markets, and maybe it grows bigger than that. There are huge, many success stories that are just like Colonel Sanders. So look at that as well. If you are unemployed right now, look around, see what you love to do, see if there's a way to possibly monetize that. If you are a great cook, then I'm telling you, private chefs are an absolute godsend for those that work long hours to be able to come home and have decent meals. So looking at that is another way to look at a job loss. Arlene, one more time, how can someone get in touch with you or find out more about you and the services that you can offer?
They can contact me by email, and as I said, it's A-R-L-E-E-N at ArlenBradley.com. That's Arlene Bradley, Arlene at ArleneBradley.com. I have a website, ArleneBradley.com. I'm on Facebook, Arlene Bradley Career Coaching. I'm on LinkedIn as Arlene Bradley. I'm on Twitter. I'm out there. You can Google me.
Yeah.
You'll find me. So, you know, I'm a holistic coach. I look at the whole person. I don't look at just the job search. I look at the person and what the personal things that they bring to the job search, their mind, body, spirit, not just resume and interview questions. And this whole program goes along with that idea that I'm trying to help you get in a better frame of mind for your job search. Yes, I will help you prepare interview questions, and I'll show you how to do a resume. I'll do your resume. But I'm also going to put you in the right frame of mind to do it.
That's great work that you're doing, Arlene, because we certainly need someone, especially in a crisis, to sort things out for us, because many times we can't do it. So, again, thank you so much, Arlene, for coming on Lawson Starting Over and sharing your expertise in finding another job. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Linda. This has been a pleasure.
Same here. Well, folks, you know, I always like to end with a quote. And this quote is Winston Churchill: success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And there may be times when you lose your job and you may have to go on multiple interviews. You may have to send multiple resumes out there, but the success in that is when you go from failure to failure and you don't lose your enthusiasm, because you never know when that next interview is going to be the one. So you want to make sure that your energy is high, your attitude is positive, and you're eager to move forward. Again, thanks so much, folks, for being with us today on Lawson Starting Over. I look forward to seeing you next time.
This has been an episode of Lawson Starting Over, a weekly show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Remember that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. We're here to help. Come back next week for another episode of Lawson Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Thank you for listening.